Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from snowy Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazine, Right Fit Sports Fitness, and Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Quick shout out, Bruce Merrin, speakers, celebrity speakers, excited to be part of that group. Bruce celebrating his 46th year. He's a Hall of Famer. We've got a great doubleheader today. Jake Schwartz, he's an award-winning magician. He's going to share some of his magician secrets to health and wellness and success. He's joining us along with Dr. Kerry Forrestal, MD. He's the author of Crushing Cancer, The Patient's Guide to Managing a Cancer Diagnosis. Then the sports doctor's in. We're going to have some Bob Guide of Wisdom, answer a few emails. First, Jake Schwartz, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Bob. I'm excited. This should be a lot of fun.
Yes. You know, the interesting thing, I remember I've had magicians in the past. We would talk about the kind of fitness level you'd need, hand-eye coordination, all be in great shape. Give us some background, Jake, on you and your fitness world. Magic world.
You know, yeah. Well, my fitness world has been largely separate from my magic world. I first started becoming interested in fitness or staying in shape. I guess really I was introduced to it initially as a really little kid because I grew up doing martial arts for a long time. And then eventually once I sort of hung up the cleats, or I guess hung up the black belt, if you will, from martial arts, I still wanted to stay active and I still wanted to stay in shape. And so it's been a gradual kind of learning process to figure out how to work out, how often to work out, what I need to do.
Martial arts is a big deal, Jake.
Progress in the areas I wanted to.
Okay, yeah. So you were you like 2-3 years old when you first got introduced to magic?
I was. I started magic, believe it or not, when I was 2 years old. I was a super picky eater as a kid, and so my parents would ask me to make my food disappear. Little did they know, fast forward now, I'm doing it full-time all over the country.
So what type of magic is so many different types, illusionists and, you know, physical magic. You know, one of my friends and guests, Jeanette Andrews, was inspired by Siegfried and Roy when she was like 3 or 4 years old. She's kind of your age now. You're a young guy. What type of magic are you involved in, Jake?
So I do something called parlor magic. And parlor magic is in between sort of the close-up card and coin stuff and the gigantic sawing a lady in half illusions. It's somewhere in between there. I kind of joke around and say that I buy my whole show at Office Max because I love doing things with objects that people recognize. I love showing the world that even ordinary objects that you see every day around your house and in your life can do extraordinary things. And the same thing is true with people.
Well, I know that's one of the things that interested us in bringing you on the show, which was the fact, because health and wellness is such a big deal, of course, on the sports doctor, youth sports, all aspects, the mental, you know, you mentioned martial arts. That was a great introduction to even the mental side of fitness.
Yeah.
Besides a physical. But you talk about these magician secrets for health and wellness and success. What do you mean?
Well, for me, you know, magic starts off, when you learn any magic trick, you need to first admit, even if it's not direct, you're admitting that you don't know something, right? Because you need to learn the secret. You need to learn more than what you already know in order to do any magic trick. And I found the same to be true on my fitness journey. I found the best way to get fit is by, or should I say, your most important muscle is the one between your ears, which is to say, learning about working out, learning about staying fit, learning how to do things the right way for your goals is the best possible muscle you can strengthen. And strengthening that muscle between your ears, your brain, like I said, will ultimately lead to strengthening your physical muscles across the rest of your body.
I mean, you do have to have a lot of fitness. There's a lot of physicality to the world of magic. When we're talking about even some of the physical side, I mean, not necessarily sawing an elephant in half. That would probably be pretty darn physical. But that whole side of it makes a really, really big deal. So you find when you're speaking to groups, you're speaking to audiences, where have you been performing some of your magic, Jake?
Well, actually, you know, I think it'd be even more interesting to actually tell you where I'm going to be going, because I have an upcoming spring tour that's going to be all over the south of the United States. I'm going to be in Georgia and Florida and Missouri and Alabama and a whole bunch of other places, which I've actually never been before, but I'm excited to go to. And you talk about the physical element of it, you know, of course, being on stage, I give everything that I have in me for every single performance. So, of course, stepping off the stage, I'm always exhausted. But even the part that people don't see, that travel to and from, getting there, setting up, all those type of things, it takes a toll. It's a lot, you know, and so staying in shape is really important so that I can continue to do the thing that I love most at such a high level and so frequently for so many amazing people.
You know, we're going to ask you a little bit about some of the groups. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. Who was on? What were the topics? Local guests, national guests, international guests. If you go to over newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an array of articles on so many different topics on health, wellness, sports medicine, a lot of the exciting new things we're doing with MVP Parent Magazine, as well as Lower Extremity Review. And again, we have thousands of followers on Twitter and LinkedIn, and we definitely publish all sorts of great information regarding whether it's upcoming guests, whether it's particular topics or subjects that we might be talking about at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. For Twitter, we're talking with magician Jake Schwartz. He was talking about his upcoming shows. What are some of the groups, Jake, that you perform for in your shows?
So I specialize in corporate entertainment, and that's what I do mostly. I do corporate events, which are people who are looking to, you know, either boost morale, boost loyalty, or just create something that makes their event super memorable. And those are the type of people that I usually work with. However, I'm also beginning to work a lot more with some theaters for public shows and also even for universities to talk to them about kind of balancing their work and their physical fitness and their mental fitness as well.
Yes, you know, it's interesting. The whole mind-body connection is a very big deal and has been for decades on The Sports Doctor. I call it the mental game, whether we're talking about the best athletes in the world, whether we're talking about parents of young boy and girl athletes, whether we're talking about coaches, teamwork, et cetera. Like you said, between the years, is such a big deal in order to be able to perform at your best, in order to even enjoy what you're doing. So when you're in front of an audience, and the what type of tricks do you do that people could see that aren't right on top of you with hand illusions and things like that? You sure you're not sawing elephants in half?
As far as I know, I'm not sawing elephants in half. Although maybe, you know, if somebody had an elephant that brings an elephant to my show, I just might have to.
You might do it.
I do a lot of things with, like I said, recognizable objects. I love doing tricks with things that people see every day. I do some stuff with sports jerseys. I do some stuff where I have the entire audience write a letter together. And I really try to showcase every side of me in my show in the hope that once people leave, not only do they feel entertained, not only will they have laughed and been amazed, but they also feel a part of something bigger than themselves. And they also feel like they've gotten to know me and I've gotten to know them just a little bit better.
You know, it's interesting. You have a segment. By the way, what is the site, Jake, people could find out about you and your shows and what's coming up and everything with you?
Yeah, my website is www.jakeofspades.com. Almost like a Jack of Spades, the playing card, except my name's Jake.
I like it. Jake of Spades, really, man. Yes, it's interesting. You know, what also caught my eye, you've got these, you call it Monday Morning Magic.
Yeah.
A great idea, right, where you have, you'll send to someone's email a trick that can, you know, get someone started on the right foot, pardon the sports medicine pun, or et cetera, give somebody a smile on their face. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can sign up for my Monday morning to get my Monday Morning Magic emails at my website, which again is jakeofspades.com. And the whole idea there is magic is made to make people happy. Magic is made to make people feel excited and like a kid again. And so I sort of say that I can turn those manic Mondays into magic Mondays. And every Monday, I just send people a video of me doing a magic trick. And it's magic tricks on TV. It's magic tricks in all different types of situations with all different types of people and objects. And that's what's so great about it. But like I said, at 10 a.m. on the dot every Monday, you'll get an email from me to start your week off in a magical way.
You know, it's funny. One of Dr. Nuzzo was one of our instructors in medical school, podiatry school, and he was a magician. And when we would be goofing around, whatever, and he would be able to deal out a deck of cards and deal everybody the same hand every time, you know, and do right on top of us and do some of these things that were just remarkable. What was amazing is he had these incredible hands. He was such a surgeon. You know, he could do sutures with one hand with some of his different tricks. So this was one of my stories when I look back onto medical school and think about some of the different exposures to magic. Who was the superstar on TV all the time with his illusions? His name escapes me this second.
David Copperfield, maybe?
Right, David Copperfield, with the unbelievable shows and extravaganzas. Is he still performing? He must be.
He does, and he is somebody that loves the art form more than just about anybody you'll meet, and that's why he's been able to do it at such a high level. He is still in Vegas. He headlines at the MGM Grand, where he has a residency. Not to do a whole full-page ad for David Copperfield, but he is phenomenal.
Right.
He even has his own private museum. It's invite-only. I've never been, but I've had some friends who have gone. And he has the largest, or one of the largest, private collections of magic history and memorabilia in the world. And so not only is he a phenomenal magician and performer, but he has also spent a lot of time, energy, and money to help preserve the art,
right,
and move
story.
The art forward. So
and
every magician to a certain extent.
The other hot shot guy used to see on TV all the time that became also very, very famous. His name escapes me, too. Who was always in Vegas and dressed up like in his biker uniforms and whatever.
Yes. Is it Chris Angel? Is that who you're thinking of?
Right. I knew I could count on you, Jake.
I'm two for two. I'm reading your mind.
We're both these names at the right time. You know, but these tremendous performers and, you know, the reality, again, of what people in an audience or people right on top of you with these illusions, you know, the whole basis of magic. I mean, magic has got an incredible history, doesn't it, Jake?
Absolutely.
Houdini.
Magic has, yeah. I mean, magic has a history even probably broader than most people realize. The first magicians that we know of existed in ancient Egypt thousands of years ago because there are hieroglyphs depicting people doing the cups and balls. And magic started because as people would leave the theater, there would be somebody outside. This is, again, in ancient Egypt, people would watch a show and they'd come outside and there would be a man who would be doing the cups and balls. And he would get you to bet on the wrong cup. And that's how he would eat. That's how he would make a living. And so, of course, in order to do that well, you need to figure out how the human brain works so you can deceive it. And so in that sense, magicians thousands of years ago were the first psychologists.
Yeah, now that's the word, isn't it? You're deceiving people with what you're doing, whatever it happens to be. And you're right, they ended up being, so the psychologist because of this understanding of telling somebody all day that they're looking at a red napkin when it's really blue. Maybe, right?
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, all art forms in general, and even sports, too, everything uses some sort of deception, right? If you hand a ball off to a running back and he jukes right but goes left, that's deception, right? And similarly, any art form that you find, whether it's a painting, you know, if there's a painting of a hallway, we understand that you can't really reach your hand in there. It's not a real hallway, right? But it looks like that because of the deceptive tactics that a painter or an artist will use. And you could go right down the list. Music, musical theater, everything uses some form of deception. But the unique thing about magic is the only art form where deception itself is the art. And that's what's so cool about it, in my opinion.
I would think, again, it doesn't surprise me that it would be as popular as it is with audiences in the world of business in order to be able to, like you said, entertainment is such a key word when we're talking about that. And you're going to be going all over the country, hopefully, again, they'll be there. You know, there are the in-person shows. I can't believe we were running out of time. Jay, give us again the website. People find out about you and your shows at your magic.
Absolutely. www.jakeofspades.com.
Jake of Spades, the card king. Thanks so much for joining me. Hold on, Jake. We're going to be right back, everybody. Sports Talk. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back in snowy Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Dr. Kerry Forrestal, MD. He's the author of Crushing Cancer, a patient's guide to managing a cancer diagnosis, removing some of the fear, from cancer, that it's not a death sentence. Dr. Kerry Forrestal, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Dr. Bob, thank you so much for having me. How's it going out there?
It's going. It's a little snowy, a little cold. Hey, winter time. You know, there is almost nobody who's not touched by the topic of cancer themselves, somebody in their family. It's really, really an important topic, much education. Give us some background on you and your medical background and leading on to the book.
So I'm an emergency medicine physician. I have been for about 20 years. For 17 years prior to that, I was in emergency medical services out in New York. And as part of my work in the emergency department, again, I'm not an oncologist. And the question I always get is, what's an ER guy doing writing a book on oncology? And there's really three answers to that, and I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. So the first, we diagnose a lot of it in the emergency department. People come in for one problem, and as we're doing the workup, we find things that are more serious. And it's always been frustrating not to be able to do anything about that, to say, you have this problem, but you're either, sometimes they get admitted to the hospital, but very often they end up going home, and I never know, you know, are they getting connected with the right people? Do they know what to do next? So forth. So that became such a frustration to me that I took the last few years of my life and did the research and the interviews and with my personal experience, wrote the book Crushing Cancer. Now, the second answer to that, and there's a big section on the book, what to do when things go wrong, because what do you do when things go wrong with a lot of things, right? I'm the guy you see after you say, hey, here, hold my beer, and then you wake up and you see me. But it also happens in cancer care. Things kind of don't go the way you plan, and where do you wind up? In the ER, and a lot of it is avoidable. A lot of it, if people have access to the information, good information, you know, you can always say you jump on the internet. There's so much garbage on the internet, you never know what you're getting. And the last answer of it is that cancer very strongly affects my family. My mother's currently undergoing care for lung cancer for the third time. My grandfather died of bladder cancer. My grandmother had uterine cancer. The list goes on. So those are the three answers to your one question.
You know, it's my sister dealing with the brain involvement. There's nobody who's not touched by this problem. You make a point with the book, which I think is so important, Dr. Kerry, which is the practical needs of this diagnosis, whether it's financial, what about your workplace, what about your relationships, your family, what about legally? So talk about that, how you pay big attention to how important these particular topics are in dealing with this.
Certainly. So you're absolutely right. It is multifaceted disease. And when we think about the medical aspects of it, first and foremost, when you say cancer, you think about what care am I going to get, chemo, is my hair. You think about all of those things, but yeah, there's a financial element to it. Let's start there. 3% of everybody who's diagnosed with cancer will have to declare bankruptcy. Now, 3% doesn't sound like a big number until you realize there are 2 million people a year who are going to be diagnosed with cancer every year. That 3% suddenly becomes a very large number. You were saying that cancer affects everybody. It does. 1 in 3 Americans are going to be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. Now, apply that 3% to that number. So it becomes quite large. And by working ahead, by thinking ahead, by understanding what your resources are, right from, as we say, day one, hour one of the diagnosis, you can avoid potentially that outcome. And you're right, workplace issues are very, very important. What are your protections in the workplace? And part of it is, do you work in a supportive environment, or do you work in an environment where they're going to say, like, oh, well, you're sick, okay, next. You know, I'm just going to get you out of here and get somebody I can, quote, rely on. So there's that element.
Well, it's such
of it.
It's such a big deal. One of the biggest topics on the Sports Doctor is we call it the mental game. It's all aspects of the mental challenges, whether you're a great athlete, whether you're the parents of a great athlete, whether you're a coach, whether you're a teammate, whether you're coming back from an injury, whether you're dealing with this diagnosis, which is just blindsiding, like we all understand. And the idea that, like, number one, you're saying, hey, listen, this is not a death sentence. Let's get educated here. But the mental part, like everything else, is huge, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the most common reaction when you get that diagnosis, you may have cancer, is people shut down. And at one of the most critical points where you really have to be able to manage a lot of very complicated things very quickly, you are in shutdown mode. So my brother-in-law was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he said after they told him, after they confirmed it, he said it sounded a little bit like the Charlie Brown guy, you know, wah-wah. Couldn't hear anything, couldn't process anything. And you're right, you have to go, and mentally you have to go from that place of you are shut down, you are not able to process anything, to really a very complicated game at a very high level. The workplace like we talked about, the finances that we talked about, your interpersonal relationships, all of these things, you have to get squared away. And the great thing is, and the encouraging thing is, cancer patients do, as a rule. They get through that moment of disbelief, and they get through that time period, and they are just amazing at getting it together, and they become commanders of this information. My best source of information on all these things were the cancer patients themselves, like do this, do that, do that. They really pull it together. So their mental game, if any of your listeners right now have just gotten that diagnosis, you will get there. I guarantee it. You will get there.
Now, there's so much more information today. It seems, you know, the insurance world, the hospital world, all these different educational avenues that people really can get some assistance if they need. But like you said, it's so overwhelming. And, you know, when you think about it again as an ER doc, you know, the idea that you're going to be seeing, you know, somebody comes in, they've got a lesion on them, or they've got some sort of mole, they don't know what it is, and all of a sudden we're dealing with that scenario, or with other kinds of problems, like you said, and you wondering what happened to some of these people if once they maybe leave and they don't follow up on any of those things. So I would think that even the oncology world would be accepting of an emergency room guy, you know, writing a book about it, or is that iffy, Dr. Carey?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, they kind of go like, okay, but if anything, like our local cancer center, the Henson Center, have been tremendously helpful in getting me resources. And nurse navigators, the oncology nurse navigators, who are absolutely the Sherpa guides, they are the ones who know where everything is and what you need to do. When you get, if God forbid, you get this diagnosis, know the name of your nurse navigator and have them on speed dial. They've been, if anything, unbelievably accommodating about helping. They want to help patients.
You know,
and
key word,
yeah,
navigator. Yes, the quarterback,
yeah,
somebody who's pointing here,
yep,
pointing there. What's the site or the best way people can find out about the book? They just Google as a website?
Well, right now it's on Amazon.com under Crushing Cancer. You'll find a couple of different versions of it. The standard color is the one I recommend to people. There's a fancier version, but fancy doesn't do anything more than be fancy. And then there's the WarriorStance.com, which is actually a cancer journaling website. Part of the book is to try to raise awareness, to collect stories of people's journey through cancer so that we can create a series of books. First one will be general, and then after that we'll go after the big three, which is breast, prostate, and lung. Colorectal cancer will follow and all like that. The specialty cancers, such as children's cancer. At the end of all of this, my goal is to have every cancer covered with a book that's just dedicated to it in every language that anybody could want it in. That would be my ultimate goal. But we started with this one book, Crushing Cancer. So either warriorstance.com or over on amazon.com. And it's available also as an electronic download from Amazon.
Yeah, you again be able to pay big attention to screening. You know, this is something that everybody in medicine pays such attention to, even though like everything else, sometimes we're treading water when we're talking about people getting screened for all of these different types of cancer concerns. You know, being proactive. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years listen to whatever you would like. What are the topics? Who are the guests? Local, national, international guests. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read an array of articles that we've written for different entities, some excitement with Lower Extremity Review, as well as MVP Parent Magazine, Keeping Your Kids in the Game. And we've got thousands of followers, lots of great information on Twitter, as well as LinkedIn. And Twitter, the handle is at SportDoc, D-O-C Radio. We're talking with Dr. Kerry Forrestal. He's a emergency room physician. He's the author of Crushing Cancer, Patient's Guide to Managing a Cancer Diagnosis. So give us some bullet points as you see them of, again, even though we've covered some of them, of things you're really, really paying attention to in the book.
So the first thing is to be hopeful, first and foremost. You've said it a couple of times, and it bears saying again, cancer is not a death sentence. It's a fight. And we're better at fighting it every day. We are living in this amazing new time of immunotherapy, and we have no idea how far that's going to go. It's a brand new fourth, not brand new, but it's a new fourth type of cancer treatment. So we went through surgery back in the day, chemotherapy starting in the 1940s, radiation therapy, and now we've got immunotherapy. So there's a lot to be hopeful for. That's one. Two, start early. If you're going to be facing this, understand that there are going to be financial challenges. So tell the people that you're going to have to pay the bills to what's going on, as long as you feel comfortable with it. If your landlord knows that, hey, we may be going into some rough waters here, it's a different conversation than if you tell them when you're 2 months late. So try to consolidate your bills. Realize that there's going to be, even if you're in a healthy place financially starting out, it's still going to be a financial stressor. And then most importantly, you know, there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days during the cancer care. They're absolutely true. Just realize that on the good days, make good use of them, because there are going to be some bad days while you're doing this. Like the day or the second day after chemo is going to be absolutely miserable. And when that happens, realize that this does not last forever. It's not going to, oh, you're not always going to feel like
ask you more. I'm going to ask you more of those bullet points, Dr. Kerry Forrestal. We're talking about his book, Crushing Cancer. It's The Sports Doctor, and we're going to talk more about the important ingredients in the book. We'll be right back, everybody. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are speaking with Dr. Kerry Forrestal. He is an ER physician. He's the author of Crushing Cancer, A Patient's Guide to Managing a Cancer Diagnosis, talking about some really, really important things for something that touches just about all of us in one way or another. We were talking about some bullet points in the book, and you were talking about the good days, bad days. You know, I wanted to ask you, should everybody who's dealing with this should pay big attention to the mental health side, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, there's so much, so many facets. That could be an hour-long conversation in and of itself, if not day-long. So the challenges are multiple. I mean, if you have underlying depression or anxiety or any of those things, it's very likely to be exacerbated. Additionally, when you're trying to say, let's say you have something like bipolar disease or schizophrenia, and you have to be on those medications, it can be hard to keep up with all of that. So there's that element to it too. And then even if you had none of that, even if you were, you know, you didn't have depression, anxiety, any of it, there's still a lot to deal with. I mean, this is a huge change in your outlook of life. I mean, when you're faced with your own mortality, you suddenly, you know, you reassess things.
It's also a big deal in the world of sports. You know, in the world of sports, Dr. Kerry, again, whether we're talking about professional pro athletes, whatever sport you want to name, the youth sports, et cetera, you know, again, the world of cancer with all of these fears and these doubts and all of these other things that come up, this is a key topic in that world also, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, the thing that's really the huge barrier for all of us is that the mental health services in the United States are terribly underfunded. You know, during the whole COVID epidemic, everybody brought that out as, oh, we got to get them out because of mental health and all like that. But if we look at how we actually fund mental health issues, you know, the funding for care and all like that, it in no way matches the incidence of mental illness. And we really need to fix that in this country, especially for children. The mental health funding for kids is terrible. We in the ER, I know I'm getting a little off topic here, but in the ER, we sometimes have children wait for psychiatric services for weeks in the emergency department waiting for a psychiatric bed. So, yeah, you're right. The mental health is important, but we need to step up as a country and start to fund it as
well,
the important thing. That
is, you know, Dr. Kerry, when in the past 2.5 years, whatever it is with the pandemic, whatever guest I have on, whatever their vocation, wherever they are in the world, whatever their profession, mental health is like foremost right smack in front of us. That's the title of one of your next coming books, really, how important this is. But it's absolutely on topic when we're talking again about trying to crush cancer and trying to deal with all of these different aspects of what somebody might be going through, you know, like you were talking about. You know, even the, you know, the relationship part that you mentioned in the practical needs, that's another big point, isn't it?
It is. There are relationships that don't survive through cancer, and the ones that do, you know, majority do. But, you know, there are a fair number of them that that don't. And then you have to put the relationship back together. One of the topics that a lot of people brought up about reestablishing relationships, let's say with their partner, you know, is there can be body image issues. You know, if there's been a mastectomy, a lumpectomy, if there have been surgeries, there are scars and all those sorts of things, and how to reconnect with that. And of course, the first thing is you reconnect with the head, with the brain, right, before anything else. You know, that's the first thing is that you have to get straight, you know, and then you work from there. But yeah, that was a common theme in the relationship, is that you're not going to have the same relationship at the start of cancer care that you do at the end. Done right, it could be stronger, more durable. You know, you go through these things.
Yeah,
the
body image that you mentioned, you know, we talk so much about obesity and childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor, but like the body image, someone's losing tremendous weight, they're dealing with cancer, they gained all sorts of weight, they've lost all their hair, like you said, let alone some of these other aspects, it becomes such a huge challenge. And, you know, you mentioned even the importance of the legal challenges with dealing with this is another key.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion about, you know, there's what legal instruments exist to help you go through and what your legal obligations are. The lawyers who helped me with this whole thing, I mean, it is remarkably complex, and anybody who's going through this, you know, if you'd all possible, you should consult with a lawyer. You have to establish who's going to be your legal proxy. The healthcare proxies and the other proxies aren't always the same person. You can have a healthcare proxy and a financial proxy, for example. Somebody takes care of the bills and somebody takes care of your health. It's we never like to think about it, but, you know, you do have to have your will squared away, not just because you have cancer, but just because, you know, that's another big aspect of it. So all of those things are really critical to have.
Is that the deep dive you're talking about, Dr. Carey? You talk about going into a deep dive. I guess this is what you're talking about right now.
Yeah. The deep dive sections in the book are we kind of do the introductory material, the stuff that you need to know, and then some people want to go deeper than that. And yeah, that's definitely a deep dive. Things like what's a MOLST form, what people would commonly call the DNRs. In this country right now, there are 50 different DNRs that, depending on where you live, you know, you have to use that DNR, and they run from just very simple, like, hey, check this box if you want CPR or don't, to a multi-page thing, and you got to fill them out. So, yeah, the deep dive is all about digging in deeper when people want to. It's there for them if they want it, but you don't have to work through it if you don't want to. And the whole book is set up that way. Read what you need is what we say.
Tremendous information, so important to all of us, regardless of what we're doing or at what level. Dr. Carey Forrestal, thank you so much for joining us. Quickly again, to get the book, what's the site?
It's on Amazon.com under Crushing Cancer, and then warriorstance.com if you want to come join us and share your cancer journey.
Thank you so much. Hold on, Carey. Be right back. Sports Doctor.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview upcoming shows, answer an email or two, and now feature Bob Guida wisdom, some input from the late great sports trainer, my sports medicine mentor, who we lost a few weeks ago, Bob Guida. And the wisdom of Guida's I want to share this segment is his famous strengthen the opposites. He he was talking about repetitive motion injuries. Think of figure skaters doing the same jumps all the time. Think of a tennis player, baseball player swinging the bat the same way hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And he would be talking about, we got to pay attention to the muscles that slow those motions down. We've got to pay attention to those muscles and areas that reduce some of that shock and continue with the stability. For example, all the muscles in the back of the shoulders that might be so much involved with throwing a baseball or football, and the idea of these things just getting overused and really working those areas. He'd also say, work the brakes like the opposites. Strengthens the muscles that slow you down, like coming down from a jump. That's why he always had such great regard for the role of the foot, strengthening that foot and ankle. Rest in peace, Bob. We've got some great shows coming up. We're going to talk locally with Alicia Roberts next week with Delta Life Fitness, fitness for women, and facilities along those lines. And that's going to be exciting. I'm hoping one of our previous guests, Kurt Mango, could make it back, the author of Becoming a True Champion. Kurt was an NCAA gymnastics champion. The following week, Rob Fletcher, the Hall of Fame martial artist, defense expert in so many different areas for women as well as organizations, and then massage therapist guru, worked with so many different pros and groups. Benny Vaughn will be joining us. We've got some time for a couple of emails. I want to remind everybody, the new MVP Parent magazine, Keep Your Kids in the Game. I have a Sports Doctors In column in that magazine. The title is, it's a quarterly. It's the essential exercises, universal exercises, strengthening those feet and ankles, working balance, MVPParent.com. So many different topics on the mental aspects, the challenges for parents, by, again, the publisher, Richard Dubin, one of our supporters on the Sports Doctor, with his, celebrating his 12th anniversary with Lower Extremity Review, LER magazine, but MVPParent.com. A couple of emails. Steve says, my 11-year-old son plays lots of soccer. His heels have bothered him on and off the past year and a half. Steve, one of the large growth centers in children is the back bottom of the heel. And this growth center, called the calcaneal apophysis, is susceptible to stress. Sometimes it's repetitive jumping and landing and running that starts the problem. Other times, again, it is even the foot mechanics, that very flat foot, that very high arch. You're talking about your 11-year-old having problems for a while. The great news is proper custom orthotics will solve your problem, as well as intelligent rest. You can't push the kids through these kinds of problems. Get your son out of cleats. Put him in a multi-nub shoe that doesn't have a cluster of cleats right under that growth center. See podiatry. They'll really, really be able to help you. We also include sometimes physical therapy, but for persistent problems with this, orthotics can be very, very helpful. We've had great success. Jerry says, I'm a 40-year-old jogger. I've been dealing with this Morton's neuroma. Someone said it's always surgery. Jerry, get another opinion. We used to think that way 20, 25 years ago. Morton's neuroma is a thickening of the normal nerves, particularly between the third and fourth toes. There's a particular connection in that area. And if there's constant stress, it could be shearing stress, it could be repetitive pounding in that area, that particular nerve starts to thicken, starts to get in the way in between the metatarsal bones. Pinching, shooting pain, numbness, other kinds of symptoms. Today, we've had great success with orthotics to reposition the stress in that area, properly support the foot. Sometimes we'll see injections. Cortisone can be very, very effective. So there are conservative, non surgical. We've had great success over the years with ultrasound treatments for neuroma. So you want to pay attention to those alternatives when you're dealing with neuroma. If all conservative measures fail, surgery is very successful, removing that particular piece of, I think, almost like a callus that builds up. This is a good description of what that nerve could be like, where it starts to get in the way. Tom says, plantar fasciitis seems to be such a bugaboo for so many runners. How come? Well, you know, we're landing on the foot. We push off the foot. Plantar fasciitis is an inflammation, soreness of the plantar fascia, which runs from the toes to the heel. Most commonly, the problems are heel-related as well as arch-related. So we want to be paying attention to foot mechanics, especially if the problem is persistent. Anybody can get a plantar fasciitis. It's one of the most common things we see in podiatry in active people, who maybe they're doing walking programs, maybe they're doing running programs, whatever their sport happens to be or activity. You can aggravate that area sometimes by overdoing it. When it's persistent, we start paying very, very big attention to the mechanics. Is this person got excessively pronated feet, which can cause all sorts of the collapse of the foot, put stretch and tension on the plantar fascia? If that tension and stress over the years can form heel spurs on the bottom of the heel, they're common after the age of our mid-40s, and they can be very problematic. Not that the spur itself hurts, but the process of developing that. So we pay big attention to the foot mechanics. We are interested in the particular shoe that individual is in. And very, very often, orthotics are extremely helpful. We usually include physical therapy, who might also be treating that area with things like ultrasound or electric muscle stim. They want to be teaching stretching exercises for that individual. About 5% of plantar fasciitis cases are really, really difficult, very problematic, very resistant. So we tell people, jump on it. Don't sit on plantar fasciitis problems because they can become a real nightmare. You want to be paying attention. Podiatry is a great place to look for that kind of attention. Again, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, all sorts of information. And we'll catch you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody.